Good afternoon. Again, I'm Ursula Phoenix Ware with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I work with the National Public Health Performance Standards Program. And I'm delighted to be with you this afternoon to share with you the latest and what's new with version 2 of our performance standards instruments. Great. As Lindsay stated earlier, the Performance Standards Program is a collaborative partnership of public health organizations focused on two things: improving the practice of public health and also the performance of public health systems. Again, as she stated, currently there are standards in some areas of public health related initiatives such as laboratory standards, but there haven't been national standards for overall public health systems like, for example, hospital standards through JCO and law enforcement agency standards through areas such as CLIA. So the Performance Standards Program, with the support of these national partners that you see listed here on the screen, was a much needed and groundbreaking effort. And it was a deliberate attempt to develop a set of tools that would benchmark and measure public health practice. As noted by Lindsay earlier, again, there are three performance standards instruments, three separate instruments developed around the 10 essential public health services that we've heard about earlier today through the first session. There's the state tool, the local tool, and the governance tool. And the instruments were developed to reflect the optimal level of performance of public health systems, or what we often refer to as the gold standard. So in the interest of keeping the standards current and relevant and cutting edge, during 2005 and 2006, CDC and the national partnership organizations engaged in what's called an instrument update process to ensure that the performance standards in version 1 of the instruments reflect current science and best practice. In addition, the group wanted to look at other necessary areas such as streamlining the tools to improve the user friendliness of the instruments. We also wanted to make sure that the process was practice-driven. So the updates were led by key groups that were comprised of state health agency leadership, comprised of local public health officials, as well as local board of health members. CDC and the Performance Standards Partners worked with subject matter experts and key organizations to determine the content areas that needed to be updated and modernized. And the group examined version 1 of the instruments and looked at critical framework issues. We looked at missing elements, and we also looked at unnecessary elements in the instruments. We wanted to understand how we could simplify the language, how we could shorten the tool, which was very important, and how we could update the language to make it more relevant and user-friendly. And these are the key areas that were examined in the update process, including preparedness, communications, health marketing, partnerships, public health law, and the others that you see listed here. So it was very, very important that we looked at and reviewed these critical areas within version 1 instruments. But what exactly did we change to the version 1 instruments? Well, some of the more notable key changes in the tool included modernizing and updating the content. Again, we work with subject matter experts and key organizations on the content to determine exactly what needed to be updated or modernized. So we solicited that input from experts in the field. In addition, we streamlined the three instruments so that they're now much shorter as a result of decreasing longer lists of sub-questions, scored sub-questions that were in version 1, and looking for opportunities for streamlining and deleting unnecessary content. We also included new discussion toolboxes and deleted those long lists of sub-questions. So the instruments now include non-scored discussion toolboxes at key points and areas where formerly there were long lists of scored questions. And we also altered the response options by going from 4 response options to 5 new response options, where we're able to capture absolute no responses to better address program areas where there's absolutely no activity at all. In addition, we included optional questionnaires such as the priority questionnaire, which helps identify priority areas to focus on in the system after the assessment has been completed and the jurisdiction receives their report of summary results. Another optional questionnaire that was added addresses the contribution of the agency to the model standards, and that's called the agency contribution questionnaire. And we'll take a look at model standards in a moment. So as a result of all of these key changes, new versions of the instruments were developed, which we are calling version 2. All of the changes that took place through the workgroup process were tested through a limited field test process that occurred during the summer and fall of 2006. And with the field test process, we wanted to look at areas to identify additional areas for improvement within the instruments, within the updated instruments. We wanted to assess improvements in the usefulness of the instruments. And we also wanted to demonstrate the longitudinal linkage and reliability of version 1. Basically, if you used version 1, we wanted to ensure that it can be used as a benchmark when using version 2. So after a nearly 2-year update process followed by a robust field test process, the Office of Management and Budget, or OMB, granted clearance on August 24, 2007, and the instruments, or version 2, were officially approved and released for data collection. So here's the general format of all three instruments of version 2, and what you see here is a snapshot of the graphically laid out version of the governance instrument. And as mentioned, the 10 essential public health services provide the framework for each assessment instrument. So there are 10 sections or chapters, if you will, for each essential service. The essential service title is listed at the top of the page as part of each chapter. And then each essential service chapter is further divided into several model standards or word pictures, if you will, which represent major components, activities, or practice areas of that essential public health service. And the model standards are written in paragraph and bullet format, and they describe aspects, the best aspects, and different aspects of optimal public health performance, or again, what we often refer to as the gold standard. Then each model standard is followed by a series of assessment questions that serve as the measures of performance. You have your 5-point scale listed there to identify the extent to which you meet the standard. And using the 5-point scale, which is optimal, significant, moderate, minimal, and no activity, the measures bring out information on how well the model standard is being met. And then the last component of the format shown here is the new feature, the discussion toolbox, which are found at key points throughout the assessment instrument. So the addition of the discussion toolbox was a major change for the instruments, and they were really introduced to help reduce the number of scored questions from version 1 and reduce the time burden that's required for completing the instruments. When the toolboxes are made available, they're used as checkboxes or prompting points to inform the group and, again, help inform the decision in terms of the question that precedes the toolbox. So the toolbox is really just an opportunity to serve as prompting points for the group to consider all facets of that preceding question. Again, the discussion toolboxes are not scored. They're only used as discussion. And here is a sample toolbox from the local instrument, and it shows your specific prompting points around guidelines and protocols for handling laboratory samples. So the group would take a moment to discuss the checkbox items listed here, and then from that, the group would have that information to inform the response of the scored item, which is immediately above the toolbox. So we've noted several times that the 10 essential public health services serve as the fundamental framework for the performance standards instruments. And with the state instrument that you see listed here on the screen, this tool includes 4 model standards for each of the 10 essential public health services, which gives you a total of 40 model standards. And the standards in the state tool include planning and implementation, state-local relationships, performance management and QI, and public health capacity and resources. And here is a snapshot of the local tool, and similarly, the local tool is set up into 10 chapters, one for each essential service. However, there are 2 to 4 model standards for each chapter, giving the local tool a total of 30 model standards. And the title of each model standard actually changes to address local activities within each chapter or essential service. So listed here is a quick sampling of the model standards that are found in the local tool. There's health education and promotion, health communication, and risk communication. Then here's a peek at the governance instrument, which includes 1 model standard for each of the essential services, giving the governance tool a total of 10 model standards and making it the shortest of the 3 instruments. So the governance instrument focuses primarily on the public health governing body, similar to boards of health, councils, commissions, or other entities with legal authority over public health functions. And the governance instrument discusses oversight and authority for a variety of public health activities. So we reviewed the changes and the format of version 2, but a lot of folks want to know, how do they get started in implementing the assessment process? This slide gives you a list of the common key steps to get you started in implementing or undertaking one of the 3 assessment processes, from preparing for the assessment process, conducting the assessment, as well as performing some post-assessment performance improvement activities. One of the first things that we encourage sites to do as they're getting started is to visit the CDC website and review the 3 instruments thoroughly and familiarize yourself with those instruments. And we have copies of the 3 tools in the back, as well as some supporting resources, the user guide that I'll talk about shortly, and the glossary of terminology. But one of the main things that we'd like to encourage groups to do is assess the readiness, which is a big piece in making the decision about whether or not to undertake the assessment process. And there are a series of readiness issues that we recommend groups consider be part of your process. Number 1, do you have leadership commitment within your jurisdiction? Is there a clear commitment to assess the process from high-level organizational leadership? Do you have the purpose and expected benefits of the assessment process clearly articulated to your group? Do your group members understand why they're being brought to the table to undertake this instrument process? And have staff support and other resources necessary to implement the process been identified? Also, is there the strategic fit understood? In other words, is there general agreement about how the performance standards assessment complements existing performance improvement or strategic planning efforts? So it's answering these questions that will help you determine if you have the pieces in place to then better understand if you're ready to undertake the assessment process, and then, most importantly, facilitate your post-assessment and performance improvement activities. Now, one of the exciting facets, if you will, of the process is receiving the summary of findings. After you've undertaken the assessment process, it's the data that people are most interested in. They want to understand what their strengths and weaknesses are. So once you've completed the assessment process and submitted your responses, an electronic summary report is generated within about 48 hours, and the summary includes the scores for all of the items that are found in the instruments. And many sites use this summary data report, if you will, to reconvene their assessment participants and have a dialogue about some of the insights and the impressions that shape some preliminary ideas on performance improvements within their jurisdiction. Then many sites take on the next step of engaging in activities such as prioritizing areas for action, exploring root cause analysis, and also developing and implementing performance improvement plans. And Stacy's going to share a little bit about summary reports and undertaking performance improvement activities within your jurisdictions. Now, one of the things that we're very pleased to share at CDC is our Performance Standards Toolkit, which is found on the CDC website, and it contains a variety of resources and materials to assist sites when they're preparing and conducting the assessment. And the toolkit is broken into four sections. There are general resources, there are resources for preparing for the assessment, there are a variety of resources for those that are at the conducting phase, and then there are a series of resources for those that are at post-assessment performance improvement phases. And this is just a partial listing of the activities and resources that are found within the preparing section of the online toolkit. Some of these examples that are listed here can simply be downloaded from the website and tailored specifically for your jurisdiction so that you're not necessarily required to spend the time duplicating or rather creating these materials from scratch. You can simply go to the website, download them, and use them for your own purposes. And then here's a sampling of resources that are found within our conducting section of the online toolkit. In addition to the three assessment instruments, you'll also find sample assessment agendas, you'll find sample ground rules, as well as evaluation forms. So you can visit the website and look at all of the resources that are available for download and download exactly what you need for your own purposes. And this is just a snapshot of the full portfolio of all of our instruments, as well as the companion resources, such as the glossary of terminology and the user guide, which is basically a practical guidance tool, if you will, and it gives helpful hints on how you can go about undertaking the assessment process within your jurisdiction. And the user guide and the glossary of terms are also available in the rear of the room for you to take a look. All of these instruments are available for download at no charge on the website. We also have a sign-up sheet in the back of the room if you're interested in having those materials mailed to you. We can do that. But again, there's no charge for these tools. They are free of charge. And if you'd like to take a look before you leave, please make sure you visit the back of the room, and we have all of these materials back there for you to peruse. Now, if you'd like to learn more about the National Performance Standards Program, particularly meeting some of the key leaders that are instrumental in developing these tools and those that worked on the instrument update process, as well as current users or former users and those that are planning to undertake the process, we invite you to a reception this evening at 6:30 here in the Renaissance Hotel in meeting rooms 10 and 11, I believe it is, and I think it'll be a wonderful time for you to meet and interact with the folks that are instrumental in making this program successful. Thank you.